Well, good evening. I am a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, finding victory over my addiction to alcohol and working on a whole bunch of other stuff. My name is Jack. Hello. Wanted to take a break. You know, we ended our teaching series a few weeks ago with the seven reasons that we get stuck. Scott taught us on that. And so that, if you've been through a step study, which we talked about earlier, that's kind of the final lesson. And then those that are going to be starting, at least in the men's step study, here in a few weeks, we'll start with lesson number one, denial. And Jen will be teaching on that lesson actually next week as we kind of rebirth our teaching series. And so for those of you that may be new to Celebrate Recovery, a typical rotation is we have either a teaching or a testimony on a Wednesday night after the worship. Tonight it's a teaching night. And typically it's a teaching from one of those 26 lessons that make up the core curriculum, the real study the recovery part, the recovery work of this program. And then on the opposite weeks, we have a testimony, either something we have up on video, or many of you are already working on testimonies and we'll present them live. And I'm checking my testimony list. It's been a while since you've given yours live. I'll probably be harassing you as we get into the new year for that. And then I know of several of you that have completed step studies, maybe have completed leadership training, and you are writing yours. We'll also have an opportunity in December to do what we call mini monies, where instead of doing a full 20 minutes of kind of your life, what happened, what God did, and what life looks like now, just to be three to five to seven, if you're crazy, minute mini-moni that just kind of covers a particular part of that story. So we're not trying to get your whole life in 3 minutes or 4 minutes or 5 minutes, but just a chance for you to share with us to get to know you a little bit better, but also just to inspire us. Because every testimony, whether it's a kind of a hard one and heavy one like we had last week on video, but all of them have things that most of us can relate to in some degree to or other. And I always believe we're here for a reason, not just here on this planet, but here in this room tonight. And so, sometimes it's just one thing that's said in a testimony or one thing that's said in a teaching. And so we'll give you an opportunity for those of you that haven't had a chance to do a mini-money, speak to me sometime, and I'll probably be trying to track you down as well, because we'd love to just hear from you. And that's a great development step in getting that full testimony that you can then gift us with, hopefully, as we get into the new year. So tonight I wanted, as we kind of are between or, about ready to start off on the new series, I usually like to take a break, and kind of throughout the year I like to do this, and interject something that's CR, but not part of the regular teaching series. And so that's what we're doing tonight. And I am extremely partial to the Serenity Prayer. I think it's the finest prayer that I've ever read, and I'm speaking some part of that prayer every day, because there's some part of it that just that I need, or it hits me, or I need to remind myself of every day. And as we did with the Beatitudes earlier in the year, where we kind of looked at, those Beatitudes that we read after Daniel was reading the eight principles and the Beatitudes that undergird those, but, we kind of dove into what are happier the meek, or what is it, why are happier the spiritually poor, and kind of looking at a little bit of that. Well, we're going to do a little bit of that with the Serenity Prayer starting now, and we'll kind of carry this through sporadically through the new year as well. And so that's what we're going to be looking at tonight. And you've got in your handout tonight the section of the prayer that I'm going to focus on. But before we get to that, I just want to kind of back up a little bit and just have us kind of get our minds around that concept of serenity, the Serenity Prayer. And what do we mean by serenity? What is serenity? How do you know if you're in serenity, or what are we talking about? And so oftentimes when we pray that prayer every Wednesday night here at the end of every Celebrate Recovery meeting. And sometimes when you do those things repetitiously, there's that fine line between a spiritual discipline and then just kind of checking the box, And so I always want to try to mix it up a little bit so that we don't just check the box, that these things mean things to us. And so that's kind of the genesis of this teaching tonight. But even at the very beginning of looking at what serenity means, okay? So I went to the dictionary online, of course. I've got a paper one, but I didn't want to exert myself. So I went to the dictionary, the Merriam-Webster's dictionary, and the definition of serenity came back this: the quality or state of being serene. I thought they pay people to do this. You got to be kidding me. I could do this. I'm going to write these definitions. So I thought, I think I need a little more than that. So I went to Serene, because that's kind of where it directed me to, and just kind of, because I knew what it meant, but I just wanted to kind of see what, you know, dictionary-wise. And so when we say the Serenity Prayer and we ask, God, grant me the serenity, what are we asking for? And so what we're asking for is that kind of state of being calm, or untroubled, or a peaceful state, or at peace, okay? So that's what serenity or being serene means. And so first thing to kind of think about in your life right now, or maybe this week, how is your serenity? Are you serene? And if not, are you wondering why? Are you looking into that? Or do you just take it, well, that's life. I'm not supposed to be serene. I say the prayer, but I'm not supposed to be that. Well, there's a disconnect there. So I want to connect you with that tonight. And while the word serenity is not in most translations of the Bible, I mean, you can get some message translations and some of the more casual language, but in general, you're not going to find that word in the Bible. But you will find the word peace in Scripture quite a bit, okay? And just as we use it in non-scriptural sense, you'll see the word peace used in Scripture to represent kind of the absence of conflict. You know, when there's a peaceful situation or a peaceful time or a peaceful season in life. And so the Bible has that. But I want to talk more about what I'll call biblical peace, because there's a peace that's also mentioned in a number of places in the Bible, the peace that surpasses all understanding, as it says in, I think it's Philippians 4:7, talks about a peace that surpasses all understanding. That's the kind of serenity that we're looking for, the peace that cannot give to you as the world gives you peace. That's in John 14:27, a peace that the world cannot give to you, that only biblical peace can give to you. And so that's what we're looking at when we're praying each week for serenity. We're praying for that kind of peace, that kind of peace that surpasses all understanding. And so I just wanted to take a little bit of time tonight, actually right now, and have you connect with that. And so let's do this. Let's just, in your seats there, just in the quietness of your heart and your heads, I want you to just kind of meditate or pray on that. Just kind of meditate on the words, God, grant me the serenity. I'll just give you a little moment for that, and I'll close this in a prayer. Father, grant us that serenity. Grant us that peace beyond all understanding. Stir in us, through your Spirit, the desire to connect with that peace, to not just say the words or not just think of it as something that would be nice or something that maybe we can get on a Wednesday night for an hour or two or maybe on a Saturday morning, but that it becomes our life. Lord, just continue to work in each of our hearts as you always do, meeting us where we are at right now. And Lord, I know that there are people in this room that don't have that serenity. And I don't have it, I know, at times in my life. And so I don't want them, I just want you to meet us where we're at and to give us, you know, continual glimpses and increasing glimpses of that as we turn to you for that peace that surpasses all understanding. Father, I pray this in your name, in your son's name as well. Amen. Amen. So when we do the Serenity Prayer each week, you know, really think about what you're praying, is I guess my point. And so tonight, I want to take a look at just one section of the Serenity Prayer just to connect with us a little bit. How does this connect us to that peace beyond understanding, or that biblical peace? And then I put that part of the prayer in your handout, and that is the part of the prayer we talk about taking as Jesus did, this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it. trusting that he will make, or you will make, as we say it in the prayer, all things right if we surrender to his will. And so thinking about it, and as I was thinking about this, I was talking to a friend this weekend, I guess, and I didn't really time it this way. I knew I wanted to do something on surrender prayer. I'd put that on the calendar, but what part of the prayer? Because with me, as I say, every day there's a part of the prayer that stands out to me, or there's times, people that know me know I've been meditating for months on accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, because that's my story. That's what got me truly accepting of my addiction. Was it. So I get that, but just think about that. But as I was thinking about this idea of taking as Jesus did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, I think, well, this is appropriate for the day after an election, because we get caught up in those type of things. Some of us more than we should. I was over in Bend last night with my mom, and she used to be a news junkie, an election junkie, a politics junkie. She's really mellowed since my dad died and became this vulnerable person I never saw for many years. It's just been nurturing a new relationship. But we were interested in it. And it was surreal watching the whatever channel we were watching, and they would have this countdown, like down to the second when some polls were going to close. It was just, people are watching this, me included, and it's like, what am I doing here? Now, fortunately, I'm not nearly as wrapped up in this as I used to be, but do I let it affect me? Do I let things like that affect me, get in the way of my serenity, of my peace? And yes, I do. And so what it tells me is I'm not taking as Jesus did this sinful world as it is. I am trying to change it. I'm trying to make it Jack's world. And that's part of being a selfish, addicted person. But part of that is, I think, just being a broken human being. And so this idea of in the second part, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will. And thinking about that. And what does that word, all things right, make all things right, what does that mean to you? What does that look like to you? And for me, many times it's doing things the way Jack wants them done. That's right. If it works out to my advantage, that's right. The way, if it's we take the election, that the person that I voted for wins, that's right. Okay, so God, how come that person didn't win? How come you didn't do the right by me? Sometimes I think I can fall into that, and you may as well. And so just looking at the fact, and that to me then, that catches myself, is that's, I don't think that's the right that the author of the prayer is talking about, and I don't think that that's how God works. I've often said that I know it all works out for my benefit in the end. I just am kind of scared to death of the route that I'm going to have to take to get there, because I don't want to necessarily surrender and submit as I will need to, and change my perspective and include God. You know, I'm adding him on instead of turning everything over to him, that kind of concept. And so I got to thinking about that concept, and there's a scripture that's quoted a lot in testimonies, and it's that's fine. It's a very inspired scripture. So Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And many times that is inspiring. We turn to God and we look at that for inspiration. But how do we take that? And I think many times we take that, I take that, as plans to prosper me, Jack. And so therefore I'm in charge. It's all about me. And that's kind of missing the point, I think, and missing the context. And as it ties back into the Serenity Prayer, it's that idea of to make all things right. Once again, how am I looking at that word right? Am I right in God's eyes, God's eternal perspective, or right in what I need to happen on this election or this job or with my kids' college or all those other things that are supposed to be right? Just to give you a little perspective or context, as I say, that comes from Jeremiah 29. That book is kind of taking place or talking about, at least at this particular part, the Israelites have been in exile. They've been taken basically captive to Babylon. So they are living in a foreign land. they are, living in probably not some great conditions. They're living around people that they detest, that have, that have taken them there as captives. And so this is kind of where this is being written. Jeremiah is, once again, throughout that book, has been trying to warn the people, you need to turn back to God. And earlier in that, in Jeremiah 29, he writes this. It says, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down, plant gardens and eat what they produce, marry and have sons and daughters, find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters, increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which you have been carried, to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. And so that's Jeremiah 4 through 7. So that takes place before that scripture that we often hear in testimonies about, the plans I have for you. And that you in that Jeremiah 20 is talking about you collectively, God's people, us, in other words. That, once again, doesn't mean God doesn't have plans for us individually. Doesn't mean God doesn't want to prosper us individually, wants to see us thrive. We were designed that way. But what he's talking about here is, if you look at the context of that, he's telling these folks that are in captive, don't separate yourself, don't rebel, integrate into the society here. I have a plan. I've got this under control. But while you're in exile here, take advantage of this, or do these things. Be still. Be those people that are separated. But I've got this. And so it kind of ties back into this idea of, when we look at the verse from the Serenity Prayer tonight, taking as Jesus did the sinful world as is, not as I would have it, trusting that he will make all things right if I surrender to his will. And this idea that many times in my life, if I am finding that I'm upset, if I'm not serene, it's because I am not taking the sinful world as it is. And and so therefore I am not, in the second part of that, I am not surrendering, I'm not submitting to God. And so much as folks look, sometimes take that Jeremiah scripture out of context, we want to put the Serenity Prayer, put those two pieces of the prayer, together in context. And so thinking about that in your life, and I've given you kind of a focus question to think about now. You can discuss it in your small groups if you want to. You can, talk about it later on, whatever. But just this idea of how are you trying to change the world? With whose power? Are you trying to base your serenity on the world or on the Word? And we look at this idea of peace as a kind of absence of conflict, or even serenity. We will get moments of, but the worldly peace that we get, you will find, is transitory. It is not something that is an ongoing state of mind. And that's what we're after with serenity. We're after an ongoing, regardless of what is going on, we are in a serene state. And so that doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen without work. It doesn't happen in my life. I know that. Maybe it does for you. But the idea is for me to increase those periods or those moments where I have that biblical serenity, where all this world is going on, and I might have some ups and downs, but I'm going to constantly come back to trusting that he will make all things right. Once again, right for me as an individual, but not in what I want. In other words, he has my best interest in mind, and so trusting in that, if I surrender to his will, and that's the key. And it's kind of like when he's talking about go out and back in Jeremiah, go out and marry and have kids and have those kids marry and be, and make sure that this, that's once again, surrendering to my will first is that key to maintaining or starting a serenity walk that is biblical in nature, not just feeling good for a day or a week or whatever, okay? And I realized, and I said, you know, as we were praying, we come into this room in varying degrees of brokenness, and I understand that. And so I want to offer this not as you're not getting it if you don't feel that serenity. I want to offer it as hope that by trusting in Him, all things will be made right. It's just that when I have to get my right out of the way to let His right, because His right's going to come through anyway. That's the thing. It's a screwy thing. I mean, I get all worked up about, am I doing this or doing that? Am I doing God's will and this type of thing? He'll let me know if I'm not. What I'm afraid of is how embarrassing it's going to be when He lets me know, or how big I'm going to crash and burn when He lets me know, nope, that wasn't my will, nice try, you know, that type of thing. But I've got to trust that ultimately that tripping and falling and stumbling and embarrassment, just like this program, when we first walk in those doors, it can feel embarrassing, it can feel like tripping and falling, and I've just been defeated, and I can't believe I'm at a recovery group or whatever. And God makes it right. The more you come, you keep coming back. And we see that happen all the time. God making all things right in this room, in your lives. And so I just, you know, once again, continue to ask you to come back into that. So if you're not in that place where you're feeling like, you know, that serenity, that's okay. That's God. And God will meet you where you're at. But just know that there is an answer out there. If you're not a believer and you're in this room, and that was me when I came into these rooms, keep coming back. Let find out more about this God, this Jesus. I think that you will begin to see His transforming power in your life, as only He can do it. I tried everything else. I tried really literally everything else, and God's the only thing that got me sober. So I'm a lousy person to be up here, because of course I'm going to give Him the credit, but I see it happen all the time in this ministry here. I see this happen in this ministry worldwide, and so I just encourage you to continue to come back. So let me close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do trust You. In our hearts, we do trust You, but we always have that but, or this little thing that I can handle this, God. Or maybe we don't feel like we're hearing from You, God. And I ask that You just dispel that You just get rid of that thought from the enemy, and that You place in our hearts Your continuous and constant and omnipresent presence. That we would know that you are with us. Maybe the timing is not right for what it is that we are praying for. Maybe the situation is tough. Maybe we do have to go through some trials and some fire and some hardship on that pathway to peace. But we know that You are there, Lord, and we know that You will make all things right. Not right by what we think, not what we want, but right by You. And that is how You created us. You created us to be in perfect relationship with You, to be perfectly right with You. Lord, we're grateful for Your Son, that He came and paid the price of the sin that we ran away from, we rejected, we broke that relationship, so that we can be in a right relationship with You, Lord. Lord, I ask that You just place a layer of protection on everybody here tonight as we go out into the world, and that we go out with biblical serenity. The world needs biblical serenity. The world needs us to be biblically serene, because that will rub off. That will be contagious. And we need to do that, because we need to be the ones that are inspiring, the ones that are providing hope out there. And so, Lord, just fill us with that. I pray all these things in Your name. Amen.